What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Rockcast. Jordan here, and on the other line, I have Mike Hearn on again, and this time we're going to talk about some super cool shit. So what do you got, Mike?
So so it doesn't sound as cool now that I'm saying it, but it's super cool. I'm super pumped about it. So I'll ask you first, Jordan. So what watch are you wearing right now?
I am wearing the Garmin Instinct, and actually soon I'm going to review the Fenix 6 Sapphire for Black Ovis. So I lucked out a little bit there.
Oh, nice. Nice. What's your, if you had one complaint about the Instinct, what would it be, if you have any?
Probably battery. Like if you could get a better battery life on it, I think, especially for backcountry wise, that the charger that comes with it, it's not like a micro USB or something you'd usually carry. So you always have to have like a certain cord to charge it. And I mean, that would probably be one of the bigger things, especially if you're using an activity all the time.
Yes. So Garmin is coming out with, the same day this podcast drops, so they're coming out with a line of solar watches. So they're going to have the Instinct Solar, they'll have the Instinct Tactical Solar, and then they're going to have Fenix 6 Series Solar, and then another tactical edition. It's the Tactics Delta Solar, and I can kind of go through and break down each one if you want, but super pumped, because that was also my biggest complaint, was the battery life, especially if you're using the Instinct, because that's what I had. I had the Instinct Tactical. If you're using it to navigate at all, that really sucked the life out of the battery. And I think Garmin's fixed it. I've tested it for the last, I got it last Tuesday. So what's that? Almost a week. The last 6 days I've been testing it. And so far the battery life on it is phenomenal.
Dude, that's awesome. So I was looking around yesterday at some of the 6Xs, because I heard Snyder talking about he has a 6X solar, and they have, I think those things are available right now, the 6, whichever, I don't know if it's a certain version they have of the solar, but I know it's out already. I think Black Ovis carries it.
Yeah, so they came out with the, I think it was the Fenix 6 Pro Solar. Or Fenix 6 Pro Solar. Yeah, that was the original kind of solar technology Garmin watch that was out there, but they've now expanded the line, and they're gonna release the Instinct Solar, Tactical Solar, Tactics Delta. And they also have some cool new features too with the solar technology, specifically related to the tactical watches. I don't know if you want me to talk about that at all, but
oh, hell yeah.
It's pretty cool technology. So as far as the tactical watches go, so the Instinct, I'll break down the Instinct Tactical Solar, because that's the one I have. But originally the battery life on these, the Instinct series watches, was supposed to be 14 days, right? So roughly 2 weeks in smartwatch mode. So now you're getting 24 days of battery life in smartwatch mode, or up to 54 days in smartwatch mode with sufficient solar exposure. So I'm fairly confident. I haven't put it to the test yet because I haven't had it long enough, but I'm fairly confident, like those backpacking trips, if you go into the backcountry with a charged watch, you're probably not going to have to bring the charger with you.
Dude, that's sweet.
I mean, 54 days. Yeah, that's a long time.
It is.
And then to build on that, the tactical, well, this is, I'm talking about the tactical edition. This is the Instinct Tactical, but 30 hours in GPS mode, or 38 hours with sufficient solar exposure. So that's using the GPS, constant GPS. And then the other thing, I sent you those pictures the other day, mm-hmm. of the backside of the watch and how it was different. The heart rate monitor was a little bit different. Yep. That's because I'm fairly certain that's because they have a pulse ox monitor on there. So it's a method that you can use to test the saturation of oxygen in your bloodstream. Basically, don't necessarily know what good that is. I think that has something to do with your VO2 max, but it's still a cool piece of data that you can use in your training.
Dude, that's super cool because I think, so they had that on the Fenix 5. I want to say that's the first time that they introduced that was on the Fenix 5. And there was a lot of people that wanted to go to that Fenix 5 to have that oxygen feature, but to go up from the Instinct, dang, the Instinct runs $299, I think, and to go up to like the very first version of the 5, dude, I think it was double the price.
Oh yeah, absolutely. The Fenix watches are definitely a little bit more expensive than the Instinct. Mm-hmm. And I'm a Fenix watch fan too. You and I have talked about this.
Yeah.
I'm a kind of a watch snob. I like having a nice watch. But I've been running the Instinct for the last year, the Instinct Tactical, and now I'm running the Instinct Tactical Solar. And I'll be honest, the Instinct does everything that I need it to do. So as far as activity tracking or when I'm doing PT or hiking or navigating, it does everything that I need it to do. So I can't justify spending the money on the Fenix.
Yeah. Yeah. We have talked about that, but I'm really interested to see like the difference, you know what I mean? And I made sure to get one with the maps on it too, because I think that that's really the only thing that would push me to get one is if it has that, you know, like the topo maps, color maps right on your watch. So I don't know. We'll see. But I did a review on that Instinct a couple of years ago, and it's been a really popular review, and I get questions about that watch all the time. And for $300 for all that thing does, I don't think you can beat it for a backcountry and an everyday watch.
No, yeah. And I was, like I told you, I was on the phone with my buddy at Garmin before we got on the podcast. And he kind of hit the nail on the head. The Instinct for the price is the most robust GPS watch you're going to be able to buy. I mean, you can now, especially with the updates that they've made with the pulse ox and the solar technology. So now you have the battery life. You can do all your activity tracking and you can still navigate with it. It connects to your inReach. I don't think you're going to find a better one on the market, not for the price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so let's just start by maybe some differences between your old Tactical and then this new Tactical Solar.
So my old Tactical, like I said, I was just in the same boat as you. I would have to carry my charger into the backcountry with me. I do not foresee myself carrying a charger back there with me now. I mean, I think I'm going to go in with a full battery and I'll be good to go. Some of the other features that you have on it, I mean, I already told you kind of the big ones, right? Mm-hmm. The addition of the pulse ox and then obviously the solar charging. But with that, you also have power management modes. So you can go into your settings and you can scroll down to your power manager and there's a battery saver mode. So if you turn the battery saver mode on, I'm looking at mine right now and currently I have 17 days of charge and it tells you the days of charge that are left on your watch too, which I think is super nice.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to just a percent. It kind of gives you the days. So currently and my battery bar is a little bit before the halfway mark, but currently 17 days of charge just in smartwatch mode. And then if I turn on the battery saver, that's going to bump it up to, it says 68 days.
Gotcha. And that smartwatch mode is just your basic mode. You can get on and get your altimeter readings and things like that. And then it pairs to your phone. So when you get a text message or something, it'll pop up on your watch. Have you used it with the inReach Mini yet?
I haven't messed with it with the inReach Mini yet. And I'll be honest. So right now I'm running both the watches disconnected from my phone and the app because obviously as we're talking about this, it hasn't been released yet. So I've got the beta software on the watch and I can't connect to the app with the new watch. I won't be able to do it until Wednesday when this podcast drops is when I'll be able to update it and actually connect it to the app. But I use the old Instinct with my inReach a little bit, but I didn't really find I needed to use it a whole bunch. I just grab it off because I carry the Instinct Mini, so I just pull it off. I keep it clipped on my backpack strap and pull it off and just use it that way, or use my cell phone.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's one thing. I did trade my Explorer Plus InReach for a Mini, so I'm waiting for on that to get here. It should have been here actually on Saturday, but holiday weekend and everything, so I should be able to get that this next week and then see how that integrates. But I know a lot of people that use it to like send quick replies. They use their watch to send quick replies to the Mini, and I know that it does not work on that Explorer.
Yeah, it works on the Mini. I tried it while I was in Colorado last year for sending quick replies, but most of my replies, I wasn't sending quick replies because there were so many people in different spots that didn't have service. So we were all kind of messaging each other, trying to figure out how everyone was doing and what was going on. Mm-hmm. But it definitely does work. We covered that. We covered the kind of the Instinct Tactical. So I'll knock out, if you want me to, I'll knock out some features that are only apply to the Tactical Edition. And so that way people kind of know what we're talking about when I talk about the Instinct Tactical versus the traditional Instinct.
Perfect.
So with the Instinct Tactical and the Tactics Delta, the Tactics Delta is basically what the Instinct Tactical is to the Instinct. So the Tactics Delta is that to the Phoenix series watches. So they just have some features for us military guys that we can use. Like we have Jumpmaster and Halo and Static Line applications on there. So when you would click your start button to go to do your run or trail run or whatever, I've got Jumpmaster apps that we can kind of use to plot out drop zones and headings. And it gives you all the information you need to do to either do a high altitude, low opening canopy insertion or a static line insertion. It shows, so ours, we can set up, or with the Instinct Tactical and Tactics Delta, you can set it up to show two sets of coordinates or coordinate system. So it'll show you MGRS, which is our military grid reference system, which is real similar to UTM. And it'll show you lat long. So you have both of those if you were ever to need the two on the same screen. Most times I just am going to use UTM or MGRS only. But and then it has some night vision modes. So the backlight can't be seen by the naked eye, but it lights up your watch enough that we can see it with our night vision, which is super nice. So we can actually look at our watch and tell the time, and we don't compromise ourselves by, you know, lighting our face up when we light our watch up. And then the last thing that's really cool is it has a stealth mode, which prevents the storage and sharing of our GPS positions. So, I was explaining this to my buddy at Garmin about 2 years ago. We started really getting yelled at for wearing smartwatches to training, or if we were overseas, our senior military commanders wanted us to stop wearing smartwatches. And it's because other militaries, while we've been kind of fighting these wars in the Middle East and trying to defeat, you know, kind of rudimentary tactics that these guerrillas are using, other militaries are they're developing technology to kind of track our GPSs. So a guy with a smartwatch essentially could possibly be sending GPS locations to the enemy if it's a sophisticated army. So this stealth mode kind of eliminates that. It stops all the sharing of GPS positions. It disables the wireless communication from the watch, and it doesn't store any GPS locations that it's pinging off the satellites. It doesn't store any of those on the watch either. So that's basically what you get when you buy the Tactics Delta or the Instinct Tacticals. You get those additional features, which some of them are cool and useful. So, and generally the Instinct Tactical usually runs about $50 more than the regular Instinct. So, but yeah, so there's that.
Gotcha. I know a guy that he just messaged me like a couple weeks ago. He got the Tactical series, and he is a Flight for Life pilot, and he got that Tactical series, and he told me he loves it. He says it's been a really good asset for him. So what other, you know, would the typical backpack hunter just want to go with the regular Instinct, or is there any advantage to going off of the tactical?
So for the typical backpack hunter, I would say it really depends on what they want out of the watch. I mean, I'm definitely in the future going to use some of the tactical features. So that's why I would like the tactical, but I think the typical backpack hunter would definitely be fine with just the regular Instinct. Yeah. A lot of those features, some of them are pretty cool. And maybe if you're a skydiver or something and you want to kind of plot your drop zone, if you know what I mean? It really depends on your skill set and what you're trying to do with the watch. Like that Flight for Life guy might really like the fact that you can see dual coordinates, right? Because he might be getting coordinates. He might be, if he's going to the ground, they might be sending coordinates in lat long, and they probably use UTM pretty traditionally, right? So those two kind of, so the fact that he can see both of those and make sure he's going to the right spot, that might help.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, and I talked about, I did a review on that, just the regular Instinct a couple years ago, and I'll link to that in the description or down in the show notes, I guess. So what's the next one that they released?
So, since we're on the tactical kick, I'll talk about the Tactics, Delta.
Yeah.
So Tactics Delta, they're coming out with two versions of this, right? And one of them super sick. So they have the Tactics Delta Solar Edition, which obviously it adds the solar power. It's going to boost your battery life, right? So I think the Solar Edition, so you're going to get 21 days indoors and up to 24 days outdoors in smartwatch mode with sufficient solar exposure. So that's the bump up from what they originally had, but the second Tactics Delta Solar Edition they came out with has applied ballistics. So super cool. So the applied ballistics, it pairs with some of the Sig Sauer ballistic data exchange and the Terrapin X laser rangefinders. So you can use that and get some of your dope right there on your watch.
Dude, that's legit. Does it pair with a Kestrel? Awesome.
I don't think so. I think right now it just, I don't know. I haven't got to play with it yet. So, and I don't know if I will get to play with it, but that's super cool. I mean, that's super cool for, if you're a long range shooter, that would probably be a fun watch to have. So those are the two big ones on the tactical side. So the price, we'll just knock out the price for these two, and then we'll kind of go back over to the Instinct and the Phoenix series. But the price for the Instinct Solar Tactical is going to be $449.99-ish, right? And then the Tactics Delta Solar Edition, just the regular Solar Edition is going to be $1099.99. So that's going to be $1,100, right? And then with the applied ballistics, that one's a little bit more pricey. That one's right at like $1,400. Because it's essentially a Phoenix. So they keep that tactics edition watch. They keep it up to date with the Phoenix, and then they just add, you know, the stuff that we might need, like the night vision compatibility and stealth mode, and then obviously the Jumpmaster applications and all that stuff. So it's basically a Phoenix with a few extra applications for tactical stuff.
Gotcha. What's the size difference compared to your old Instinct and new one?
So I'll be honest, I didn't weigh them out, and I should have, but it is pretty dang close to the same size. I mean, it's almost, you really can't tell with the naked eye. I think it, as far as the watch face circumference, it looks the exact same. I think it might be just slightly thicker, but it's really not noticeable. So if you were to buy the Instinct Solar, you're not going to be like, oh my God, this is a completely different watch. It is the same exact watch with just a couple of added features.
Gotcha. Can you see the solar, like on the watch face, can you see the difference, like where they have the little solar things, panels?
Yeah, you can. So the solar ring kind of goes around the outside. So if you look down at your watch, Jordan,
yep,
where it says, basically where it says light, up, down, where all the lettering is for your mm-hmm. buttons on the glass of the watch itself, that is where the little solar panel is. It just kind of surrounds the outside of the watch.
Okay.
But yeah, so there's really, you can't tell a difference. Mm-hmm. I think, and I could be wrong too about the thickness change that I'm perceiving, right? I'm not going to say it's 100% there, but that thickness change that I'm perceiving could be from the changing of the heart rate monitor.
Because
I think the old heart rate monitor that didn't have the pulse ox, I think that's a little bit flatter than the one that's on it. But again, it's not noticeable.
Gotcha. Okay.
I'm pulling my scale out right now so we can weigh these bad boys.
Perfect. Perfect. And then we'll go over to the regular Instinct too. And you said that they had some new, not activities, but like modes, I guess. And there was one called the Expedition mode. I believe mm-hmm. that it takes your, like when you're tracking, it'll take your track once every, or your position once every hour, I think.
That's exactly what it does. It takes your position once every hour.
Perfect. So that's going to help on battery too.
Oh, big time. And when we get into those, I'll give you the projected battery life within each kind of battery saver mode. Mm-hmm. But the weight on the Instinct Tactical Solar is 1.9 ounces. The weight on the regular Instinct Tactical is 1.83 ounces. So not a huge difference.
No.
Not a huge difference at all for what you're getting out of it.
Right, yeah. So I will say, too, those Instinct watches, they are not a big watch. Like, they're not a big, bulky, a Rolex watch or something like that.
Or even when I switched from my, when I switched from my Phoenix 3 to the Instinct Tactical originally, that weight difference was crazy, because those Phoenix watches are, because they're a little bit more robust, right? They have a more robust display. They've got a color display. They're just, and they've got, you know, more metal on the outside. They're definitely a heavier watch, and you can kind of feel it. I got used to it, but now that I'm used to the light watch, I don't know if I'd go back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I probably definitely would if someone was just going to give me one, but these, they're definitely lightweight, nice, and they're comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're really comfortable. So, what did you want to talk about next?
We can dive into the Instinct Solar.
Okay.
So just regular old Instinct Tacticals are done. So they've got an Instinct Solar, and they also have an Instinct Solar Surf Edition for anybody out there that's a surfer. But as far as the Instinct Solar goes, the battery life is going to be 24 days in smartwatch mode indoors, 50 days with sufficient solar exposure, and then you have the addition or the ability to put it into those battery saver modes or expedition mode. And those battery saver modes are going to, obviously, they're going to take that battery life way out there. Trying to go through my notes here. So I'm trying to find the expedition mode. I think the expedition mode was like 56 days in expedition mode,
dude.
Which, I don't think any, unless you're doing something crazy in Alaska, I don't think any of us in the lower 48 are going to necessarily need that expedition mode to get through a hunt before we're going to need to come out of the woods and refit before we need to charge the watch is what it's looking like.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And dude, 50 days, that is so long for a watch to have a charge that does all that stuff. It's crazy.
Absolutely. I mean, even 24 days is a lot longer than the original 14 that you were getting with the regular Instinct. Mm-hmm. So with the, also with it, I mean, it's still got all the same waterproofness down to 100 meters. And then they also have the pulse ox on the regular Instinct as well. And then they have a battery body, which is kind of interesting. So it basically kind of uses the metrics on the app from your heart rate and your sleep and all that stuff. And then it kind of gives you what your body's battery's at, right? Like today, I really didn't do a whole bunch. So I'm sitting at like 95% right now because I didn't really do anything today. So that's something cool too.
Dude, that is crazy.
Again, Instinct Solar, 24 day smartwatch mode, 50 days with sufficient sun exposure. Moving on to the Fenix 6 series solar edition. So with the Fenix 6, for anyone that surfs, mountain bikes, or indoor climbing, they have they added those activity profiles to the Fenix 6 series watches. So those will be new activities. The Fenix 6S Pro solar battery performance is up to 10.5 days with sufficient solar exposure. And then the Fenix 6 Pro solar. So there's the 6S, which I'm assuming is the cheaper version. And then the Pro solar is the one I think that Snyder has. That's up to 14 days in 14 days indoors and 16 days with sufficient solar exposure. And then again, the Fenix 6 is right there. The Fenix is definitely a huge step up as far as the robustness goes. So they have advanced sleep monitoring platforms that provide a detailed breakdown of your light sleep and REM, as well as your pulse ox and respiration data. And that's kind of where I think the battery or the body battery comes from, is a combination of your sleep data and then your heart rate.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously with the Fenix 6 series, you've got the topographic maps, you've got ski maps for ski resorts, you can download golf courses, and then it's got Garmin Play, so you can store up to 2,000 songs from one of your playlists on your watch. So you can listen to music on your watch too, which is cool. But I think if I don't have to carry a charger in the backcountry, I'll forgo the music on my watch.
Dude, yeah, exactly. Like a lot of those things, I mean, do you really need to download a golf course to your freaking watch to get around it? I mean, a lot of it's just like if you're a gadget person, which I'm a gadget person, so I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, probably me not too. The golf course. I'm a gadget person too.
Yeah, I know. But I think for backcountry hunting, you can't beat that Instinct.
No, absolutely not. And again, for the price. And then another thing I wanted to kind of highlight about the difference between the Instinct and the Fenix 6 series watches, right? So the Instinct is definitely, I mean, you don't have your color maps, you can't download and store music, but the Instinct was designed that way. And I didn't know this either. I was complaining to my buddy at Garmin and he explained this to me. The Instinct was designed that way. So if you look at the Instinct's display next to the Fenix 6's display or any Fenix watch's display, right? The Instinct's real basic and analog looking, and that's Garmin designed it that way because they didn't want it to pull as much power, right? They wanted the battery to last longer on it, but they still wanted it to be functional and usable for the end user. So that is the reason that the Instinct kind of came to be, was so it could be that watch that, I mean, 50 days of power and smartwatch mode is a long time. I haven't owned a watch yet that I can get 50 days in smartwatch mode out of. So that's a huge, huge difference versus the Fenix 6, right? And obviously it's more robust and you got your nice color screens and you got your maps, but the Fenix 6, you're getting what, 14 to up to 16 days with sufficient solar exposure. Mm-hmm. So that's a big difference.
Yeah, that is a big difference. I want to talk about the activities real quick because I know that you use them and I honestly don't use them that much. I just like you having that watches so I can have a good altimeter. I can save my location. you know, drop pins and whatnot on it. So can you talk about activities and how they're different? Like, do you use yours for running?
I do. Yep. I use mine for running. As far as the activities between, do you want to know about the activities between like the using a Phoenix and using an Instinct, or just the difference between the solar and the standard ones that are already available?
You know, I think from a, just a very, very introductory stance for the activities, like if somebody is, you know, listening to this and they're listening about the watch and they've never had one in their hands and they want to know about the activities, like, what do you get? What is an activity and what information do you get from it?
Okay. Yep. So for, I mean, probably one of the most popular ones is going to be run, right? Which you're going to have your standard, pace, a timer, and the distance you've traveled. This is on the Instinct specific. I mean, all of them are going to have it. Mm-hmm. It's just how the watch displays the data is going to be different, right? So my first screen on the Instinct Solar is going to be my pace, my timer, which is the duration, and then the distance I've run. My next screen is going to be specific to my laps. So if I am hitting a lap button, right, I've been doing a lot of interval training. So I'm running a lot of half mile intervals, quarter mile intervals, and 1 mile intervals. So when I hit that interval, I'll hit the lap button and that'll give me my lap pace. So how fast I'm running for that lap specifically, not the overall event. It'll give me my lap time, so how long it took me to run that half a mile, and it'll give me my lap distance, which is the actual distance I've traveled. And then it gives you your heart rate zones, which I don't know them off the top of my head, but it goes all the way up to your like real hard work heart rate zone. I should probably have known that, but it gives you your heart rate zones from like extreme, your heart rate's way up, down to your moderate heart rate zone. And then the watch will actually tell you when you hit your resting heart rate for that event. So a lot of times when I'm doing intervals, I don't always do it, but generally a physically fit person will recover. If they run a half mile interval, a lot of physically fit people will hit their recovery heart rate, which isn't their resting heart rate, but it's where their heart rate is at a more moderate, beat per minute, they'll hit that recovery heart rate within their rest time if they're resting the amount of time it took them to run a half mile. So if it takes me 3 minutes to run a half mile, I should be, if I'm fairly fit, I should be hitting that recovery heart rate inside of that 3 minute rest period. And then you can see your time of day while you're doing it. And then those are the three main screens that I have that I use. And that kind of covers running. And then again, with running, once you stop an activity and save it, that activity will upload to your phone and you can actually go into the Garmin Connect app and you can look at your activity and it'll break down inside the app. This is where I really like Garmin because it does a lot of the work that I used to have to do with like an old G-Shock watch. It does all the math for you. So you go into, let me pull up my activities here.
Yeah.
You go into your running activity and you can see, I can see my average pace. I can see my moving pace. I can see my best pace. And then I can go in and actually look at my lap times for each lap. So I can see how long I rested, how long it took me to run a half a mile, every lap, every time you hit that lap button, it breaks it down for you. And then it also gives you it gives you your overall heart rate for the activity. So the run I'm looking at right now, my average heart rate was 110 and my maximum was 159, and it gives you your cadence. So it gives you your average steps per minute, and it kind of shows you, it's got a dotted line that kind of shows you when you're at an optimal cadence and when you go above it or when you drop below it. Gives you your overall elevation traveled. So a lot of times when I'm doing, getting ready for elk season, right? Next tomorrow starts my elk season prep. So I'm going to want to look and see how much elevation gain and lost I had. And it'll show you that. And then the last thing that it does is the heart rate. So it shows you the zones, right? So it shows you if you're in zone one, which is 92 to 110 beats per minute, zone two, 111 to 128 beats per minute. And then zone three, 129 to 147, zone four, 148 to 156, and zone five, anything above 156. So a lot of, there are some guys, I don't really do it. I kind of pay a little bit of attention to my heart rate, but I don't do as much as I could. But there's some people that when that are way more technical than I am, when they run, they do zone runs, right? So whereas I'm trying to run a half a mile, and I want my half mile time to be at like 3 minutes, and then I want to rest about half that time and be able to do it again and keep my half mile time somewhere within 20 seconds of that 3 minutes. So 10 seconds above 3 minutes or 10 seconds below 3 minutes. People will do the same thing, but they'll do it for a heart rate zone. So they want to stay in zone four for 3 minutes while they're doing an interval or while they're running a half mile. So it gives you the ability to track that and do that. And then, oh my gosh, there's so much stuff you can do with these things. Yeah. So on top of that, right? So the way I've been doing it this week, because I can't connect the watch to the system yet, because it's not technically, I mean, it hasn't been launched. The way I've been doing it is I'm hitting the lap button for everything. So I'm kind of tracking my own times, but you can actually go on the Garmin Connect website, and I can program. So if I'm going to do 5 800-meter runs, right? 5 half-mile intervals, and I want to rest a minute and a half between each interval, I can actually go in, I can program that workout, type it all out in the Garmin, on the Garmin Connect website, upload it to my watch, and then it's saved as one of my workouts. And I can go out on the street, I can hit the run button, and then hold the settings button and pull up that workout, that 5 times 800-meter interval workout, and press play. And I can program a half mile warm up jog in there. So where you just jog for a half mile, right? So I'll jog for a half mile. And once I start getting close to that half mile, my watch will beep and it'll give me like a 5 second countdown, or just beep, 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 beep. And then it'll tell me to sprint. So I start sprinting. And once I get close to that half mile interval that I'm trying to hit, once I get close to a half mile, it'll count me down and it'll tell me to recover. And then it tracks the time. So the watch tells you what to do while you're working out, basically. Super cool.
Dude,
and that's just barely scratching the surface.
Yeah, dude, that is super badass. So that brings up a point I want to make about Garmin watches in general versus someone, a brand like Suunto. The Suunto that I've run anyway, which was like the, now I'm drawing a blank, but it was like the Alpha 7, I think, or Alpha something like that. Anyways, that thing, like, it gave me my altimeter and it gave me some of that stuff. But it, for an everyday watch, it just didn't quite do it for me. So when you're getting a watch that, you know, for the backcountry, the thing I really like about Garmin is it's a super good everyday watch too, that you can do stuff like what Mike just talked about, keeping track of your workouts, doing the sleep thing. Like, there's so many things that they do. And then another thing is the buttons on the watch itself. They're all customizable, so you can create like your own menu system. So if there's, 10 items you can have in a menu system, you get to pick those 10. It doesn't have to be just 10 like default ones. And if you want another, if you have another one that you usually use, but it's hard to get to, you're kind of screwed. But on these Garmins, that Instinct, I programmed in my own menus, my own buttons. I changed the buttons to what I wanted them to be. Like, there was one button that was, I don't remember what it did. It did something that I didn't really care for. So I switched that button to go right to like my altimeter. So I could just hit a button and it would take me straight to my altimeter. So they're just, I've been super impressed with them. I've been very happy with the Garmin watches I've used.
Yeah, exactly. Another little piece of insider information I got from my buddy that works there. He said he was talking to one of the lead watch designers, and that designer's primary like vision when he goes into making, coming up with a Garmin watch, you know, whether it's adding an update or whatever, one of the things that's in the forefront of his mind is making it a companion for the consumer, right? So making it something that people want, not only want to wear, but it's useful to wear, you know? So, and yeah, that's a huge, I ran a few different Sun 2 watches and I'm not the biggest fan of them. Durability wasn't the greatest, and you don't have the robust, even in a simple watch like the Instinct, you don't, they're not, the Sun 2s aren't there. You just don't have that robust user interface and customization. And then the pairing with the Garmin Connect app again, and the website is huge. I can keep going down the line. So there's a Trail Run app, and I could be talking kind of sideways about it, but I think the Trail Run app probably, from what I know about trail running, I feel like if you're going to trail run, that Trail Run app helps, because if you're, especially a lot of the places I run, there's a lot of switchbacks going up a hill. So I think that kind of just helps that GPS narrow in on where you're actually moving. So you're getting more accurate data if you're running on a trail and might be under a canopy. I could be wrong. That's more of a guess than it is a fact. They have a hike app. So, and again, it's just like the run, you turn it on, it's got a timer, a distance. The hike one specifically has your ascent instead of a pace. And then it shows you your heart rate zones again, what heart rate zone you're at. And then it shows you, have you messed with the navigation at all, Jordan, on your Instinct?
Yeah, I've used the track back, and I've used just like bringing up a waypoint typically to get me back to the vehicle.
Yeah. So that hike app gives you that same kind of bearing, just shows you kind of the little arrow pointing in the direction you're trying to go when you're on the hike app.
Yeah.
There's one for bike. You've got an app for swimming. You've got an app for strength, skiing, snowboarding. I've used the snowboarding app a bunch when I lived in Colorado, cause I would snowboard in the wintertime, and that just tracks your downhill descent. It tracks your speed. So you can kind of, you can see what your max speed is, your average speed. You can see your current speed, your total miles that you've went up or downhill. And you can, again, you can hit the lap button when you get at the bottom and hop on the ski lift and head back to the top of the mountain, hit the lap button again, bomb the hill, see what speeds you're getting. So that, I mean, that's kind of cool. And then, you can also go onto the Garmin app again. So that Garmin app, when you're looking at your activities, you can actually look at a map and see where you ran. So you can like see a map. It maps out your entire run. So you can look at that as well.
Dude, legit.
But yeah, that covers most of the activities. I mean, you can add activities. So, I mean, there's treadmill, indoor track, walk, climb, bike indoor, mountain bike, open water swim, cross country ski, kayak, stand up paddleboard, row, indoor row, cardio, yoga, elliptical, stair stepper, floor climb, boat, fish. I think so. The fish and hunt, I haven't played with these. I'm going to add them to my favorites right now. Now that I saw them, I'm fairly certain. Let me see what it does. So the fish and hunt, I think, are going to show you kind of your solunar times.
Yep. Like peak,
I believe, and your sunrise and sunset.
Yep. Like the peak times,
your peak movement times.
Right.
And stuff. Yep. So, I mean, the amount of stuff, and again, I'm rocking the Instinct. This is all coming from the Instinct series, like the Instinct. It's a tactical edition, but every Instinct does it. So we're not even scratching the surface. Obviously, I'm going to look forward to reading your review on the Phoenix when you get your hands on that, because that is a little bit more robust. But they all do that same basic stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and that's legit. And man, for even what, so what's that? What's the Instinct in the new Phoenix Solar is going to run for cost wise?
So the Instinct, as usual, it's going to be $50 less than the Instinct Tactical. So the Instinct Solar is going to run $399.99. And for the Fenix 6 Solar Edition, it's going to be around $849.99. And then obviously the basic Tactics Delta Solar, not with Applied Ballistics, is going to be right at $1,100.
Mm-hmm. Dude, but even, I mean, for $400 for that regular Instinct, that's, I don't know, that's pretty good. If you go to like the, you know, the older Instinct and you've got that 14 days of just smartwatch use, if you, you know, it's going to cost you $100 or thereabouts to buy a charger to take back with you if you're going to use some kind of an activity mode. So you could just pay the extra $100 right off the top and then get that solar watch. That's, I still think that's a dang good value for what you get.
Absolutely. You're not, I don't think you're going to find this many features. You're not going to find this many features in any other watch. So then I just went and put my watch into expedition mode, and now it's showing me that I've got 42 days, 9 hours left on it in expedition mode. 42 days, 9 hours right now. And as my watch sits, I charged it the day I got it on last Tuesday. So what was that? Let's look at the calendar real quick. So I put a full charge on both watches, my old Instinct and the Instinct Tactical Solar. So I got it last Tuesday. So that was June 30th. So 6 days later, I got 16 days left on this watch, and I'll be 100% honest. I do kind of an office job, so I've been inside and I'm doing a bunch of writing and stuff like that right now. So I spent a lot of time inside. So the majority of my outside stuff, the only time I'm outside in this watch is getting solar exposure, is when I'm using an activity. So I'm either, because I've, even if I like was, I was doing a, I hiked with my wife last night and the night before we went hiking, and it was just so I could play with this watch so I could talk about it a little bit more intelligently tonight. But so every time I've been using it, I've been, an activity's been on, so that GPS has been constantly running. I've either been running or hiking or navigating with it, and still there's still 16 days of charge left in it, and I have not been getting solar exposure. But if I'm, if we're, you know, backpacked in somewhere, it's going to get solar exposure most of the day. So that battery life is going to go way up. It's, I can't wait to actually try it out in the field this year.
Yeah, dude, it sounds like it's going to be legit. And I am sure that our buddies over at SNS Archery and then Black Ovis are going to carry that. I don't know about the Tactical. I think they did carry the Tactical in one. I know Black Ovis did or does still. But I'm sure that they're both going to carry these solar ones if somebody wants to try to purchase one.
Yep. And again, with the Tactical, if you're on the fence, I mean, we kind of highlighted it earlier, but the Tactical just gives you a few different apps and unique things that are mostly unique to people that work in the tactical realm. But it, for $50, it's $50 extra. And you get all those extra fun, cool applications. But no, I would just say, I mean, I'm super happy Garmin finally has solar power. Like I said before, I've said that literally every Garmin watch I've owned, at least once a year, I think, when are they going to start solar power in these things? And now they have. So, like I said, with the Instinct series alone, 24 days of battery life in smartwatch mode, 54 days with sufficient solar exposure. That's insane. And then I think I can't find the spot, but let's see. Using expedition mode with sufficient solar exposure provides increased GPS functionality while delivering over 2 months of battery life. So that's what expedition mode is. Over 2 months, so over 60 days. And then the other thing, Instinct Solar can provide unlimited battery life with solar exposure in battery saver mode. And I think that's one thing we didn't talk about. When you turn on that battery saver mode, that I've turned it on a few times, and it basically, it kills your heart rate monitor. It kills, it just makes your watch a dumb watch, right? It goes from being smartwatch to dumb watch. So it kills your heart rate monitor. Mm-hmm. It kills your connection to your phone. And you can set up again, because it's Garmin, you can set up your own battery saver mode. So you can set up a battery saver mode that maybe, all right, I don't want to see my heart rate, but I still want it to be connected to my phone, or I don't want to see my heart rate, but I want to still use a specific feature. You can set it up to kill only the features you want it to, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah, it does, dude. And that is legit. That customizable ability. Jeez, it's late, man. Customizability on those things is really nice. So, but I think we covered those pretty well, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Super excited. Thanks for having me on and letting me talk about it.
Dude, of course. Heck yeah. We'll get this out, but today is the day when this podcast goes up, which I believe is the 8th of July.
Yep.
They should be available. So hopefully like Black Ovis or SNS or a Rockside sponsor will carry them, and then people can support those who support the podcast.
Yes, support the Rockslide sponsors.
Yes, exactly. All right, Mike. Thanks, man.
Cool. Thanks.